Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Private Officer Talk Radio Network. I am your host, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, Rick McCann. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday evening, April the 28th, 2010. We are certainly glad that you are here and cannot believe that today is Wednesday already. This week is certainly flying by for us, as is this year. Can you believe it? We are in the end of April, just a few more days, and May 1st will be here. May 1st. You know what that means, don't you? No? Cinco de Mayo! Hey! Everybody can have a little Mexican and party. No, really, it's just amazing how fast time flies. It really goes by. We don't have enough hours in the day to do all of the great and exciting things that we have to do for this association. We are just really elated and besides ourselves over this past Sunday's show. Certainly, it was one for the record book and one for history. If you were not with us on Sunday during the induction, the first inaugural induction into the Hall of Fame, we certainly encourage you to go back and listen to that on the on-demand. It is certainly worthwhile. It was an exciting time for us. And to be quite frank and honest with you, it was extremely touching, emotional, and in some aspects sad for me personally, for my staff, but to know that we were doing something that would permanently and forever emboss the courageous and heroic deeds of those nine who were inducted, it was a happy moment. We are very excited about all of the things that now, all the doors that are now opening and all of the things that are happening. Like I said, if you have not listened to that program from Sunday, the 25th, we encourage you to do that. But not right now. No. Please wait until this program is over and then click on last week's program. We have so much happening, as we always do here at the Private Officer International, and sometimes I know I repeat myself, and it seems like old news. But there's just so many big things. One of the things that I want to kind of go into a little bit here in the opening of our program is our new online training division. We recently added an additional site for the Private Officer Academy Online, which is very exciting because now the students will be able to train in an interactive, secured classroom. So if you were to enroll right now, you would be assigned your student ID number, and then you would get a password and a classroom assignment, and you would have your own online classroom. There, you'll be able to read your text module watch the video that may go along with that particular module, or a audio, or a slide presentation, or a PowerPoint, right there online, all in one secured classroom. No one else would have access to the classroom. Nobody else but you will be looking at your material or your exams that will be taken online. And it's very cool. It's we're excited. We have some more improvements that we're going to be doing in the upcoming weeks and months for the training division, and it is very exciting for us. We are right now waiting for several proposals from different companies for online interactive shooting seminars, shoot, don't shoot type seminars with interactive capability, so that you can go there to the site, input your password, and take the shooting test just like you were in one of the interactive modules given at many police academies throughout the country. But you'll be able to use the click of your mouse to do it. So it's extremely exciting. We are continuously upgrading, updating, and looking for innovative ways to train security personnel, not only here in the U.S., but we have many students from many countries and growing every day. So that's a very exciting addition to the private officer benefits, and we're just really ecstatic about this. If you did not hear, we are offering some free training seminars coming up between May and October. Your business, your church, your employer may host us. We will be glad to provide a six-hour module of training on use of force, liabilities, level of force, workplace violence, and domestic violence. There is no charge whatsoever. If you, your church, your company, or some other company that you may be aware of might be interested, please contact us at the training division, privateofficer.com. Training division, privateofficer.com. We're going to be starting out in Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, and Florida. And this is going to be a great thing because I love to travel. My staff love to travel, and we love to network. We love to meet people, and we will have a chance to recruit and a chance for us to mingle with other security companies and church security teams in that area. So it's very exciting. We've also been talking a lot about our chapters coming up. We're going to be holding several more informational conference calls within the next week. If you are interested in becoming a chapter manager and you have not notified us, please do so. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com. Right now, it looks like that we're going to have a number of countries opening chapters, which is very exciting as well. I mean, hey, have you ever really heard of so much activity going on for you, the security industry? Be honest. I've been in this industry of so much going on. Sure, there's been some pockets here and there, a little bit of this and a little bit of that in state, around the country. Some states have state associations for security personnel. But frankly, most are inactive. They mean well. They start up excited, as we did. But they just never really get things going. In fact, over the last few years, as we've monitored monitored many of them. We know of at least five different associations have closed down or are completely inactive. So here at Private Officer International, we certainly don't want to be one of those. We want to be the leading association for private security, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And we're excited chapters. We're excited about the May launch. We're going to be launching these next month, just a few days away, actually, somewhere along the middle of May. You may ask, well, what's this got to do with me? Why should I be excited? What's going to happen there? Is this a office? Is this a facility? What's involved? The chapters are very much like any other organization, association, who holds regular meetings every month. The chapters will be about training, networking, recruiting, assisting officer down families or officers injured, and that encompasses many different things. And it will give us an opportunity to get to know our neighbors, give us an opportunity to network with other security companies, proprietary security officers, and just a whole bunch more. It will also help you, the private security officer, have a better working relationship with local law enforcement because we will get them involved as well. You want more information? Send us an email at adminassistprivateofficer.com. We also announced, and I'll just go over the rest of these very quickly because time marches on. We announced several times now a very exciting, unique, first ever, as far as I'm aware of, online convention and expo. We're going to have a regular convention and expo floor, but you won't have to drive no place. You won't have to burn up any gas. You won't have to spend any money for hotels or food, and you won't have to miss any work, because it's all going to be right there on the internet, on your computer, at your house, at work, on your phone. You'll be able to click to it and enjoy training. Seminars will be going on, interactive contest. There'll be a vendor floor with numerous sponsors selling their wares and doing whatever they do on a vendor floor. It's actually pretty exciting. I've been to many conventions, and there's a lot of activity and a lot going on. The 2010 Convention and Expo is sponsored by Gear Up. Gear Up is a public safety supply company. Also, Chaplains on Call and several other companies will be sponsoring this event. If you, your company, your organization, your church, or somebody in your area would like to help sponsor this event, we'd love for them to do it. Send an email, adminassistprivateofficer.com. We expect probably 5,000 to 10,000 people, and there may be more, who will visit us during this live event. And this is happening next month also, April and May, very big months. And you will not want to miss this happening. You will not want to miss this event. But if you do, you will be able to have a chance to catch it on demand for a limited time. Again, it's just a very unique way for us to deliver things to you as, you know, cheaply as possible. And the great thing about this convention and expo, it's free. No cost whatsoever. We mentioned also that we are working with a university to offer some credits toward the training that we're doing, and we'll be soon announcing some more information about that, but we are definitely excited about that as well. And also, last but not least, we've also mentioned that we are enhancing our Private Officer Down page. We're actually going to be going to another system, which will host our Officer Down area of our website. You will have search tabs to be able to search for names, dates of the incident or the death, cities, states. You'll be able to type in various information and get a lot more information at just a couple of clicks away. So we are excited about that. If you want to email me while I'm on the air today, right now, you can. It's very easy. Email me at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. Now, you can submit news, training events, anything that might be happening in your area. You can submit any type of promotions. If you've been promoted recently or if your coworker has been promoted, you can certainly submit that information and we will publicly announce that for you. You may submit any type of seminars being held in your area. Hey, we do keep on top of a lot of what's going on in the security and law enforcement arena and the industry, but we don't see all, we don't hear all, and we certainly don't know all. There may be some things going on in your area that we're not aware of, so please feel free to send us a quick email to make us alert, and we'll check it out, and we'll announce it, and it may be something we want to become involved in. There are a number of conventions coming up this year that we're going to be part of. We're going to be on the expo floor. We're going to become more involved in networking, recruiting in a national way. And certainly, you know, if we're in your area, we're in your city, we're in your state, we'd love for you to come out and be part of that. So if you have any knowledge of what's going on in your area that we might be interested in a certain event, please let us know. radio@privateofficer.com, and we will make that announcement for you. If you want to check us out on the web, privateofficer.com, you may do that. We have on the main page now added a link in the recognition box, which is to the left of the page, a link to the Private Officer Hall of Fame, where 9 very worthy private security officers and special police officers were inducted on Sunday. 64 nominations. As I said on Sunday, we definitely wanted to induct all of them. They were definitely all worthy, definitely all contributed in great ways to the security industry. All of them were brave. All of them gave their all. But 9 people stood out a little bit more. And we are so happy to have inducted them into the Hall of Fame. You can go to our main page, privateofficer.com. Down on the bottom of the page to the left in the recognition box, click on Hall of Fame, and you will see their names and some pictures there. Next week, a week from this coming Sunday, so it's about a week and a half from now, we will be announcing the quarterly Private Officer Awards. We are going to hold that open for another few days. If you, your coworker, your employee is deserving of an award, please send their information in to us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Nominate them for the award. You can follow us on the web, as I was saying, at privateofficer.com. That's our main website. That's where you can also click on to hear us live every Sunday and Wednesday or on demand. You can go to Twitter at privateofficer.com, Twitter/privateofficer, Twitter/privateofficer. I'm proud to say that we've been updating that on a more regular basis. You can also go to Facebook and check us out, Facebook/privateofficer.com, Facebook@privateofficer.com. And you can go to privateofficer.ning.com. That is our forums, and it is a worldwide forum. We have a lot of private security officers, loss prevention, campus police, and law enforcement personnel from around the country and around the world. We want to recognize a couple of people that are having happy birthdays today. And no one guessed. I was a little surprised, but no one guessed on Sunday who else's birthday it was. But it was my birthday. One person, Matt Prindle, did send a note just after the show. But I'm an old man. This week, today, we'd like to say happy birthday to Bruce Carter. Bruce Carter is 28 years old. He is a private security officer for a TV station in Atlanta, Georgia. Happy birthday to you, Bruce. Unfortunately, Bruce says, I'll be working on my birthday. Well, guess what? We know exactly how that feels. I don't remember the last time that I had a birthday that I was not working. It's probably been 10 years. Happy birthday also to Connor Wolf. Connor is 40, the big 4-0. Don't worry, Connor, because from what Oprah Winfrey and others have said, 40 is the new 30. 50 is the new 40. And 60 years old is the new 50. So, you know, you're only as old as you think you are. 40 is just a number. So happy birthday to you, and may you have many, many more. In our emails this week, let me tell you a funny story first of all. We had a funny email from the gentleman who wrote in a few weeks ago. I was telling you, a gentleman wrote in and told me that I talked too fast for him. He loved the show and he loved what we're doing. But he knew I was a Yankee from up north because of how fast I spoke. So I have tried, I really have tried, to slow it down just a little. But he wrote in just the other day, and he said, "You did a great job for one radio program, and after that, you sped it up. Began talking even faster than before I sent you the email." No, sir, I have not purposely done that. I haven't. I do have to say that there are times when I've got so much on my mind that sometimes I just talk so fast. But I'm going to consciously make a conscious effort to slow down. Thank you for writing in, and I'll do better, I promise. We had numerous emails regarding our induction on Sunday. And a lot of people who read the bios on the inductees agreed with the choices. Brian White said that this is something that was needed forever. That this recognition will stand apart from anything that anyone has ever done. And I agree with you, and that's why we have set out to do this, and we have much more to do. Maury Westhauser, unbelievable. Never thought I'd see the day when anyone would take such interest in the private security guards. And Maury, again, you know, all I can do is echo what I've said over and over again. Having been in this industry for such a long time, having talked with, worked with, and networked with security personnel of all calibers, all types, all around the country, all around the world, I can tell you that many private security personnel are deserving of so much more recognition, appreciation, and pay than they get. And we're working to change that. Terry Hauser. Terry Hauser said, "What an honor for those 9 security officers. What an honor." And we agree, and we wish that we could do more. And we are going to attempt to do more. We're going to be talking more on another program about the memorial wall that we have, a project that we're working on, and we will tell you more about that in an upcoming show. Curtis Williams, he said, "Bless you. Bless you." And bless you, Curtis. Thank you for writing in. You see, folks, you know, we can only do what we can do within the limits of finances, within the limits of our abilities, our staff, our volunteers, our associates and members. And it's important that we continue to grow and we continue to add to membership, because it's with that membership that we have strength. No man is an island. No person can do it by themselves. And we really need for you to tell your coworkers, tell your friends. You work in a big city. I'm going to pick Dallas because I've got a number of friends and members there. Dallas has thousands of private security officers in one city. Spread the word. Get the Yellow Pages out. Start calling, checking their emails, find out what their email addresses are, spreading the word, and help us to grow so that we can provide more services like this to all of those who are deserving of what we're trying to do. In the Public Safety Training Institute news tonight, we do have one graduate. But before I get there, I just want to say we're just having a lot of excellent response with our training. And this is really has me excited, because this is a cornerstone, this is a foundation of private security or law enforcement or anything that you do. Training is your foundation. Without it, it's like building a house on sand. It will fall. It might look good. You see, you can get somebody dressed up in uniform, and you can give them all the great equipment. You can give them a nice patrol car with, you know, lights on the top. Everything looks professional. Everything looks just hunky-dory. But let one major event happen. Let something happen where they have to respond, and guess what? It can become a catastrophe. The house built on sand will not stand. And training is a key aspect to everything that you do, and it certainly is a foundation to our organization. So our training institute is really growing. We've had so much great response. We have students being added all the time from around the world. And if you have not taken a look at that, we hope that you will. As I've said many, many times, training equates to money. If you want to get paid more, if you want to further your career, if you want to go from an entry-level security person to a supervisor or a manager, you got to have the credentials. You got to have the training. You've got to have the knowledge, the experience. And that's what we do. That's what we give you. And by having the training, it will also help you when the day and time comes to use those skills to save your life or someone else's life. And it's just that simple. We have a contest. Wait a minute, am I talking too fast? Let me slow down just a little. We have a contest, which it's going to be running through June. We'd love for you to enter. The best dressed officer, best looking vehicle, patrol vehicle contest. You can send us a picture of yourself or your coworker to adminassist@privateofficer.com. $100 first prize, runner-up gets a $50 gift pack. There'll be a press release, a plaque, and a lot of good stuff going on here. We also have the Security in Motion book. We'd love for you to become part of this. Send us something that's happened to you. It could be funny, be serious. It could be weird. Weird. Just write 200 or more words and send it to us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. The book, if all goes well, will be published later this year. All proceeds will be going to the Memorial Fund. You'll get a copy, autographed copy of the book. The books will be available at Amazon and numerous bookstores. It's really a great thing to be involved in. It really is. So if you have not, but not right now. No. Wait until the show is over. This week, today, we have no officer down reports in the private sector to report to you, thankfully. But we do have a number of law enforcement officers who have been killed in the last few days. In Nye County, Nevada, NYE, Nye County, a deputy sheriff responding to a domestic incident at a casino was shot and killed. And it seems that the suspect had a SKS rifle. An SKS rifle has a banana clip with 50 rounds in the clip. 50 rounds. The bullets pierced the deputy's vest. And I've seen this weapon in action, and I can tell you that this weapon will pierce through a brick wall. It'll go right through any house. Slicing through a piece of paper. It is a deadly weapon. It is a weapon of choice for many gangsters, druggers, drug dealers, and it's a nasty weapon. If you ever come up on it, if you're ever involved in a situation where somebody has an SKS, all I can say is get the heck out of there, because those rounds in that weapon will slice through your vest, regardless of what type of vest you're wearing. It's going to go through it. I don't know if you've ever seen the video on the shootout in L.A., California, a number of years ago. Go back and research that on YouTube or someplace, and you'll see what those kind of weapons can do. Unfortunately, deputy Ian Michael Dush was killed, 27 years old, during that incident in Nye County, Nevada. Also this week, in Wisconsin, Deputy Sheriff Corey Dalvig, Deputy Corey Dalvig of the Vilas County Sheriff's Department in Wisconsin was killed. 29 years old. He'd been on the force for 5 years and 10 months. According to investigators, he was responding to a mutual aid call, and a dump truck, which was parked on the side of the road, decided, I hadn't heard the lights and siren. I guess I'll pull out in front of this car, and the deputy's car collided with him, killing him instantly. The driver of the dump truck has been charged with DUI, and, it's just a sad situation. In Montgomery, Alabama, police there say that a police canine dog was left in the patrol car by his partner over the weekend. The officer was evidently so tired after shift that he forgot his partner, Ursel the canine, German Shepherd. The dog was left into the vehicle for 12 hours and died according to investigators, probably from heat. And this is a sad situation because this does happen on a pretty frequent basis. I know of about 3 or 4 cases in the last year, and that's a sad, sad situation. Police in Long Beach, California, say that a police officer drove to Las Vegas and rented a hotel room at a casino over the weekend and then committed suicide. Officer Randy Klebler committed suicide. He was 32 years old. Of course, in these situations, all officers and friends are stunned, as anyone would be, and they all say the same thing. I never knew he was depressed. I never knew he was feeling down. I never knew. We need to know. We need to pay more attention to our coworkers, to our family, because there are signs out there. There are signs. In Sioux Falls, South Dakota, a South Dakota bouncer, security bouncer, was involved in an altercation with a disorderly man over the weekend, and the man bit the bouncer's finger off. Police say Lucio Rodriguez Castro has been arrested for assault. The security officer was rushed to the hospital, but they could not repair the damage, and so now he's missing a finger. But during the fight, the man bit the finger completely off. In Midland, Michigan, police there are looking for a female suspect who aggressively was fighting with loss prevention at the Sears at the Midland Mall. They say that two security personnel were injured. If you'll go to our website, privateofficernews@wordpress.com, we have some video there of the suspect. Also in the news today, Springfield, Missouri, the Evangel University has decided to arm their security personnel because more and more people are coming in from off the street, and they're causing havoc, causing concern for people's safety. And so it's in Springfield, Missouri. The private Christian university says they've decided to equip their personnel with handguns. They currently have mace, pepper spray, handcuffs, and nightsticks, but they're going to now train them and arm them with firearms. And I believe that all university security, all college, all mall security, and many security personnel in many different environments should be armed. Not all security officers, not blanket. I'm not saying across the board, but in many circumstances, they should be properly trained and armed. Because we're living in a time, you know, in a day, in an age, when security personnel are the first responders, as I've said this many times. They are there long before the law enforcement, long before any backup, and they have to be prepared for what's waiting for them. In Aurora, Colorado, which is just right outside of Denver, it's actually part of Denver, police there say that a man at the Town Center Mall tried to abduct a 4-year-old girl. Police say that a bystander happened to see what was going on, notified security who was nearby. They responded quickly, and the man took off. Security and that citizen saved a little 4-year-old girl from being kidnapped. That was great work on the citizen's part for becoming involved, as many people do not, as we know. But thankfully and luckily for the parents of that young girl, he did become involved, and security became involved, and they got there quickly and averted a kidnapping. They do have video of the suspect. They are actively looking for him. According to police, the mom thought that the girl was with the dad, and the dad, who was someplace else, thought that the girl was with the mom. we probably need to be a little bit more cautious with our children, but in this case, it all worked out for the best. And congratulations to the security officers who was involved there, because that was a definite kidnapping in progress. Shreveport, Louisiana. Emil Short, a security guard, 54 years old, working for General Motors, got a little greedy, and over the last 2 years, he stole 11,000 pounds. Not ounces, not 1 or 2 pounds, but 11,000 pounds of copper, a little bit at a time. Sheriff investigators said that they became aware of it after Emil Short was cashing in on the copper that he was stealing at a nearby recycling plant. He has been charged on 16 felony accounts of theft. Felony. 54 years old. I saw a picture of the gentleman. He looked like my neighbor, just another man. Looked like a nice man. Sometimes good people do bad things. The economy certainly has many people at least thinking that way, at least thinking about doing dishonest things to get by. In Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is not too far from where this incident happened, two more knuckleheads decided that they, too, were going to make a little bit more money to help with their drug habit. Police say that a subcontractor at the Chevron refinery in Pascagoula, Mississippi, stole $30,000 worth of parts from the Pascagoula plant and exchanged it with a man who evidently ran a scrap business for oxycodone, which is a very powerful drug. Police have arrested David Randall Goff, 36, of Saraland, Alabama, charged him with embezzlement, which is a felony, Class A, top-of-the-line felony. He's booked and in jail waiting trial. In his case, it wasn't about necessity. It wasn't about getting by. It was about drug habits, unfortunately. Washington, D.C., late last night, a armored car picking up deposits at the CVS drugstore on Rhode Island Avenue was robbed. Three suspects attacked the armored car guard as he was exiting the CVS. They came out of the blind, out of nowhere. They took the security officer's gun during the attack, and they fled in a green minivan. Now, here's my question about this. You know, I know that the driver of the armored car is not supposed to leave. He's not supposed to get involved. But don't they have those portals? Don't they have those openings there in the armored car where, you know, he could shoot at them or something? I mean, this guy that was attacked, he was out there all by himself. And there was no assistance. I've never worked armored car security. That's one thing I have not done, so I'm not sure of what the policy is. If you have, email me at radio@privateofficer.com. I'd like to know. I'm sure that the policy is don't leave the armored car, regardless of what your partner's going through, because obviously he's there to protect the other loot that's in the back. But you know, it would be hard for me to sit there while my partner's getting his head beat in or being stabbed or shot. I just can't do it. I'd have to do something. I'm not sure what. If you have worked in the armored car security business, email me at radio@privateofficer.com. I'm sure that you're going to tell me that it's policy that the second guard, the driver, does not for any reason leave the security of the truck. And that makes sense. But I just can't see leaving the one security officer hanging out there by himself all alone being attacked. We have a lot of great training coming up in the near future that we're going to be offering. We're going to be doing some training online, free of charge. And we have some great new interviews coming up that will be part of our programs in the next few weeks. And you definitely don't want to miss out on that. If you have any questions about Private Officer International, what we do, what we stand for, you can go to our website, privateofficer.com. If this is your first time listening to us, you can contact us at adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com. Tonight, I'd like to spend just a few minutes. We're not going to have a call-in segment tonight. I've noticed that several people have tried to call in, but we're not going to stay very long, but I do want to cover one area while we're here tonight. We still have a little time left. I'd like to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about alarm response. A lot of private security companies have gotten into the business of responding to alarm activations. Now, looking at this, it looks pretty safe, a pretty decent investment, especially now that many police departments, not only here in the U.S., but around the world, are either doing away with responding to alarms because they're not active crimes, they're not crimes in progress. They're considered more of a nuisance than anything else. Many police departments have regulated the response to the alarm. If they get so many false alarms, then they don't respond anymore. They issue a fine and pretty much blackball you. So in many areas of the U.S. and other countries as well, private security has increasingly gotten into the response business. In fact, I know of a company in Alabama who built their security business on responding to alarms 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They had mobile patrol on the road stationed throughout their response area, and they waited for that alarm to go off. This is a great way to secure more income for your security business. It's a great way for a security company to add a patrol service. It's a great way to increase income. But at what cost? There is a lot of risk and liability involved when responding to an alarm activation. You might have 100 alarms this month that you respond to, and they're all false alarm. But it only takes one for something to go wrong. Only one to become a burglary in progress, and an untrained, unskilled security officer is left there by himself responding alone to an active burglary, possibly armed suspect, and all of a sudden you have disaster. So tonight I want to give you a couple of things that might help you. If you are one of those security officers who are assigned to mobile patrol, if your company responds to burglar alarms, or if you respond to alarm activations internally, many colleges, hospitals, industrial sites, and other facilities have alarm activations that are monitored through either their dispatch center or their switchboard or someone who monitors them internally. Sometimes they're monitored through an outside source, and they, in turn, notify the security department on duty. In any event, if you are responding to any type of alarm, there are a number of things that you can do to help prepare yourself and to be alert for the dangers that may await you. Number one, if you are on patrol and you are responding to an alarm call, always turn off your, if it's at night, always turn off your headlights as you approach the area. Now, I've seen many police officers pull up to the call with their headlights pointing into the doorway of the business. To me, that just tells me the officer is overly nonchalant about his occupation and about his safety, and he's not the kind of guy I'd want to be partnered with. But I've seen it done a number of times. You do not want to pull up in front of the business. You want to back away. You want to shut your headlights off, number one. Number two, you want to park down the road from the business and get your lazy butt out of the car and walk a couple of buildings up to where the alarm call is. Even if, and this is where disaster will strike, even if this is a normal location where activations are frequent. As I said in the opening of this, you may respond to the same location 30, 40, 50 times in your career. Nothing ever is going on. There's no burglary. It's all just malfunction. But all of a sudden, that one time will get you when you're not prepared. So turn your lights off and park down the road several houses or several buildings away. Walk into the property. When you get to the property, if it's a commercial address, if it's a business, do not go to the front door. Do not go to the back door. You want to do what's called a 360 review. What is that? A 360 review is you want to stand in a tactical position away from the building, not kissing the wall of the building, not tight with the building. You want to be tactfully available, and you want to make yourself less of a target by being aware. Do a 360 review, a quick review. You want to look at the windows, at the doors. You want to look at any exterior buildings. You want to take a quick look around to see if there's any evidence of entry. And while you're doing this, you want to take note of the roof line, because yes, people do break in through the roof, especially commercial buildings. And this has been going on for a while, at least several years now. One of the big things, at least in our area in the Southeast, people will break into a business only for the purpose of breaking through that business's wall to go into the building or the business next door. So you have to be alert. If you're getting an alarm call from Suite A or Suite B, and you're looking at the front door and the back door of that suite, and it's all secure, the business next door may have been the point of entry, the POE, the point of entry into that burglary. They may have broken into another business that's adjoined to the one that you went to for the alarm and made entry there. So yes, everything on the outside is looking safe and secure, when in fact there is a burglary in progress. You just didn't take long enough to check the entire building out. Prepare yourself. Shut off all of your interior lights of your vehicle. Shut off all of your noisy radio. Turn it down. Don't shut it off, but turn it down. Keep your flashlight pointed to the ground and observe the area. And here's what I like to do. When I first come up on a scene, when I first arrive at an alarm call, once I walk up to the property, before even I do my 360, I want to listen. And what am I listening for? I'm listening for drills, saws, hammering, any glass breakage, anyone talking, whispering, any movement. And I can tell you some things that happened in my career. There's been some scary moments, and there's been some weird moments, wind blowing and howling through buildings that sound like people talking. You know, the cats that you see on TV all of a sudden startling someone. Well, that's happened. Possums, rats, they get into buildings and set off alarms. So there's a number of things that could be going on, but it could be a burglary in progress. So I always listen. I stop and listen first. Then I do my 360, and I observe. I'm also looking for broken windows, ladders that might be leaning up against the building, any vehicles parked on the property or around anywhere that might be a suspect's vehicle. I look for telltale signs that something's not right. Number five, I also maintain radio contact. If I have a dispatcher or a partner, I let them know what's going on. And here's a quick word of advice. If you don't have a dispatcher, you're out there on your own. What I always do is I take my cell phone when I've had to do this when I didn't have a dispatcher, and I hit 911. I don't send it, but I put the number in so that if I have to dial 911, if I need police, all I have to do is hit the send button and put it on speakerphone. And from that point on, I have contact. So there's a tip for you right there. Before you go into this site, the scene, call 911. Don't send, only put it into your phone. And then if you have an emergency and you need backup, then you can hit the send and put it on the speakerphone, and you should be good to go. Number seven, always wait for backup. If you've got officers coming to assist you, or if this is called in as a possible burglary in progress, make sure you've got either other security personnel or law enforcement coming. Don't try to be a herald. Don't try to be Superman, Batman. Those things don't work out. What happens is you wind up dead or severely injured. Do a 360 or quietly wait in an area where you can observe the building from the best vantage point, and wait for the police or sheriff's department to arrive or the constable's office. Number eight, minimize the shiny stuff that you have, whether it be the badge, the nameplate, the belt keepers, any of the silver or brass that you might have. I always used to take a windbreaker, and I used to put that on. And that way, it covered up all of my gear, all of my badges. Nothing was shiny. And number nine, and most important, always be alert to your surroundings. There's going to be no second chances if you make mistakes. Always pay attention to what you're hearing, what you're seeing, and most of all, what you're feeling. You know, you've heard about the hair standing up on the back of your neck. That's a great telltale sign that something's not right. Well, this is going to end tonight's radio segment. We're glad that you were with us. We hope that you have a great rest of the week. Be sure to join us here Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for another great program. And in the meantime, tell your friends and coworkers about Private Officer, and be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you on the radio again soon.